Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
While Israel's war in Gaza continues, the possibility of conflict on a second front with Hezbollah to the north is delicately poised, and Irish peacekeepers are right in the middle of it. An exchange of missiles back and forth saw an armoured UN convoy carrying Irish troops being hit. No injuries were reported, but the vehicle in which the Irish soldiers were travelling was damaged, and the Taoiseach Minister for Defence, Micheál Martin, described the incident as serious. For more on this, I'm joined by Professor Ray Murphy from the Irish Centre for Human Rights at the University of Galway, and first by Cathal Berry, independent TD and former Army Ranger. Cathal, what's your assessment of what happened here?
Good morning, Philip, and good morning to Ray as well. Yes, look, about two nights ago, Saturday night at 8 p.m. local time in Lebanon, there was a very small Irish routine patrol passing through a village about a mile from the Irish camp. As we're passing through, a building was destroyed from the air. So it wasn't a deliberate attack against the Irish troops, but the vehicles did take a bit of punishment. But they did return to their base on their own steam, and there was no casualties, thankfully. But it is a very concerning development, the most concerning development in the last 10 months in relation to Irish troops in Lebanon.
Are you reassured by the fact that they don't seem to have been targeted?
It does help, for sure. Also, what does help is that the vehicles did stand up to a lot of abuse. These are up-armoured Toyota Land Cruiser vehicles, so it uses bulletproof glass. The windscreen is about an inch thick. There's armour plating on the floor, armour plating on the doors. So it did its job, and it did its job admirably. There's two kind of skins on the vehicle. So my understanding is the outer skin, which is the soft skin, was penetrated all right, but the armour plate wasn't disturbed. So the integrity of the armoured cage, so to speak, was maintained, and there was no casualties, thankfully.
But the size of the missiles that are being traded backwards and forwards across that border at the moment, any closer, indeed a direct hit, and we might be talking about an entirely different story. Is it time to reassess the Irish Peacekeeping Commission commitment in the region?
So it's always good to monitor and reassess for sure on a constant basis. Interesting enough, as you mentioned there, the UN Security Council resolution governing the UNIFIL mission, that's up for renewal at the end of this month. So it's UN Security Council resolution 1701. Now all the indications are is that six-month mandate would be rolled over again. But the Irish troops are part of 10,000 UN peacekeeping troops there at the moment, and they're the most experienced, best equipped, best trained. It's very important that they stay. They've been there since 1978. So there's three generations of Irish troops out there. So these really are the fulcrum, the backbone of the UN mission. And if Ireland was to leave, it would have a catastrophic effect on the entire mission.
What does happen in the past where peacekeeping missions have withdrawn and then tried to reinsert themselves?
Yeah, very, very complicated. In fact, Ireland did withdraw in 2001. Withdraw is probably the wrong word, but Ireland decided to pivot its troops, its peacekeeping troops, towards Africa. So there was a mission in Liberia. So we withdrew from Lebanon in 2001 for about a five-year period. And in 2006, I think you were over there yourself at the time, Israel did do a ground invasion of Lebanon, and Ireland had to go back in, and we've been there ever since. So it's a concerning development for sure. But the Irish troops are very experienced, and they can graduate their activities based on the operational situation. So they have three levels. Level one is just business as usual. Level two, everyone returns to camp. And level three, they go into their groundhog air raid shelter bunkers.
Ray, can I bring you in? What's your assessment? Does it differ from Cathal's in any way?
Good morning, Philip. Good morning, Cathal. Yeah, I would agree with Cathal. I would not be in favour of withdrawing the Irish troops at this point. I don't think the situation warrants it, but the troops, they're well trained, they're well led, they have excellent equipment, and this is not anything new to Irish troops in Lebanon. This has been par for the course since 1978. In fact, I think probably the worst time was back in the 1990s during an operation called Grapes of Wrath, where the UN area was subject to an incredible level of shelling by Israeli forces. So I think it would be extremely detrimental to the UN mission and to UN peacekeeping if we were to withdraw. And you can't commit to UN peacekeeping and then when the going gets tough, decide that you're going to pull out. That's just not how it works. And we have a very good, hard-earned reputation. And I would favour continuing the mission and supporting the UN and the peacekeeping efforts to any extent possible.
All the indications are, though, that we are on the brink of something potentially very different to all of those other previous periods of escalated violence, because the Hezbollah armoury is much, much better equipped with tens of thousands of missiles that might not have been there in the past. And all of this tit for tat and back and forth really seems to be only moving in the direction of all out conflict between Israel and Hezbollah.
Sadly, I agree that that is the likely scenario. We've got to factor in Iran also, and pressure can be put on Iran as a state. And I think when you see the Americans deploying their aircraft carriers, publicly acknowledging that they have a submarine there with a missile capacity to strike Iran, etc., that's a clear deterrent to Iran. But it's much, much, much more problematic to try to put pressure on Hezbollah. And Hezbollah will want to respond to the recent assassination of their chief of staff. So it's inevitable that there will be a response from Hezbollah, and there will be one also from Iran. What we don't know is how they will respond and the extent of this response, and would it be coordinated. But I would remind our listeners that in 1982, Irish forces were deployed in Lebanon when there was a full-scale invasion by Israel that went right up to Beirut, and UN forces operated with serious restrictions for many years under Israeli occupation. So, yes, it's a difficult situation, but it still does not warrant withdrawal.
Cathal, would you be worried that while the Iranians have been very restrained and very carefully calibrated in their response to these aggressions from Israel, Hezbollah might, as Ray is suggesting, be a little bit more of a wild card? They have had this man, Fuad Shukr, killed 2 weeks ago. Just in the last day or two, another senior official was targeted in Sidon. How long is it before, do you think, Hezbollah says, no, this is just too many insults being heaped upon injury before they end up retaliating?
Yeah, look, Ray is 100% there. It's only a matter of time. So it's a question of time and an extent. Hezbollah has never been as powerful as they are now. They're three times more powerful than Hamas, both in terms of their weaponry and in terms of their people as well. And they've been goaded by the Israeli Defence Force for the last 10 months. And you could argue very convincingly that the assassination was a deliberate attempt to even draw them out even more. So they will be retaliating. It's only a matter of when and how. And more concerning is, how will Israel respond to that Hezbollah attack? And if the Hezbollah attack is below a certain threshold, the Israelis can take that on the chin. But if it does breach a particular threshold, if Israeli civilians are killed, for instance, or if it's a major assault, then Israel are likely to respond. And that escalatory spiral, we don't know where that's going to go.
In your experience, from having operated in the region before and looking at these targeted assassinations now, is Israel trying to draw that response on itself?
Well, I'd always make the distinction that Israel, like Ireland, is not a homogenous society. There's hardliners and there's moderates. But for sure, the hardliners in the current Israeli government, they are hoping for a direct conflict with Iran. It's very obvious that they've wanted to destroy the Iranian nuclear program for over a decade. They're looking for an excuse. And if they can draw the Americans in as well, that's so much the better from their perspective. But I should argue that is the extremist position of the Israeli government. There are moderates in the cabinet as well. Whether the moderates or extremists will win out, I think we'll find out over the next few days.
But Ray, they are successful in part, aren't they? There's an aircraft carrier on the way to the region.
They are. I mean, Israeli commentators, as Cathal said, it's not a homogenous society, but many Israeli commentators are asking the simple question. Yes, it's a significant tactical victory to take out a leader like Hanina and Fuad Shukr, but what is the strategic purpose behind this? And that's the problem with the Israeli government and current policy. There isn't a clear strategy. It's not clear where they want to go and what their ultimate objectives are. And certainly the assassination of the Hamas leader in Tehran was a serious setback for the current hostage negotiations and the ceasefire. So, I think there will be a response. And as Cathal said, like over the last 24 hours, 30 rockets were fired from Lebanon into northern Israel, in and around Nahariya. There were no casualties, fortunately. And, 60,000 Israeli civilians have actually been evacuated from that area. But if the Iranians or Hezbollah cause any significant casualties to Israeli civilians, the response will be very, the price they pay will be very high. And this will be a serious escalation. So I'm hoping, you know, that the response from Hezbollah will be calibrated and Iran will be calibrated so as not to push the Israelis to cross another line that will escalate and easily get out of control. That's my greatest fear for the situation.
The two of you have very articulately set out the risks with which the Irish peacekeepers are operating within. What then, if things do move in this direction, what is the point in having Irish peacekeepers sitting in bunkers in their barracks, not able to actually do any peacekeeping? Why not just withdraw them out of harm's way? Cathal.
So the first thing I would say is that as bad and all as things are at the moment, it would be 10 times worse if there was no blue line, if there was no thin blue line, which is the United Nations strip, which separates the two warring parties. So at the moment, the two warring parties are lobbing shells and missiles and rockets over each other's heads, but there's not direct contact. If there was to be direct contact or even the opportunity for direct contact, you're looking at a much more dangerous situation. And from Ireland's strategic point of view, it is in Ireland's vital national interests that this conflict does not escalate. We know about the mass movement of refugees all over the Middle East. We know about the price of oil. We know about disruptions for supply chains. It is absolutely vital that Irish troops remain there. And if we were to withdraw, the situation would get significantly worse almost immediately.
Ray?
Yeah, I agree with Cathal. And the other thing I'd say is if it does escalate, it has to de-escalate. So like the UN peacekeepers may be put in an impossible position for a period when open hostilities break out between Hezbollah and the Israeli Defence Forces. But they have to come to an end. And the role of the UN peacekeepers will be absolutely critical then, as it is now. They represent the international community. They have the legitimacy of being a UN-approved military operation on the ground. They're objective observers, and they are helping to keep a lid on the current situation. And they're also giving us an accurate picture of what's happening on the ground, because I could not believe anything that Hezbollah would tell us, and I would not believe anything that the Israeli Defense Forces, a spokesperson, tell me. I would be relying on more objective, impartial reports from UN observers, especially peacekeepers on the ground.
Cathalberry, final question to you. Do events and moments like this make the case for Ireland and the Air Corps purchasing a large personnel-carrying aircraft?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm always balanced on these interviews, Philip, as you know. So a €68 million contract was signed about 18 months ago. And there is an aircraft currently on an assembly line in Seville, in Airbus. And it's a CASA 295 military transporter. And it should be delivered to Baldonnel in about 12 months' time. So this time next year, Ireland will have that capability.
And
so
in the meantime?
In the meantime, we're in serious difficulty. We have a very limited capability. We do have two of those similar aircraft, but they're the maritime patrol variant, so they can't extract as many people as the military transporter. But Cyprus is actually being established as an evacuation hub at the moment. And if it does come to it, the 100-odd Irish civilians in Lebanon, they could be extracted, most likely by the UK forces, back to Cyprus, where they'd be picked up and transported back to Ireland.
But once again, we would be relying on the grace and favour of our friends and neighbours.
Absolutely, 100%. And Ireland is a relatively rich country. We should be in a position where we're offering seats to other nationalities rather than begging for them and hitchhiking our way home.
Cathalberry, Ray Murphy, thank you both very much. Coming up, with fears of further unrest flaring up in the UK, I'm going to be speaking to a former London Met detective.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.